From the Squamish Chief.
This is the Squamish Sound. I'm Keely Bartlett.
And I'm Stephen Chua. This is the 15th episode of our weekly podcast.
You'll hear the story behind the story as we take you into the newsroom. We'll talk about what did and didn't get into the newspaper this week.
On the show today, we're covering a march for murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls, and a big week in sports. A local athlete's first UFC victory, and Squamish rugby taking the championships. Finally, a local actor gains province-wide recognition. First off, we're going to be talking about a recent event that was held to honor the murdered and missing Indigenous women. Keely was covering that event.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about what was actually happening during this march?
Sure. So a bunch of students had organized this. It was part of the annual 24-hour drum ceremony that they do, but the march was new. So there were three different schools that marched, Howe Sound Secondary, the Whistler Secondary School, and the Pemberton Secondary School. And they were each marching for different reasons. One was marching for awareness of drug and alcohol abuse. Mm-hmm. Another was marching for cultural acceptance of your cultural identity for people who are Indigenous or LGBTQ. And the local students, the Howe Sound Secondary students, were marching to end violence against Indigenous women, and that's part of the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls movement that they were trying to bring awareness to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think between 60 to 80 students took part, and they marched from Howe Sound Secondary to Totem Hall. So the RCMP actually helped them cross the highway, which, you know, with such a large group, they couldn't make it all in one light.
Yeah.
But it was a really inspiring event. A lot of the Indigenous women who attended from our community, from the Squamish Nation, spoke about what kind of personal impact that they've seen with the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, their family members, their friends who've gone missing and who have never been found.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really touching to show that sometimes when we're talking about missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, we think of the Highway of Tears, which is in northern BC. It's between Prince Rupert and Prince George. But they did this march along the highway that, you know, Squamish is built around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that we remember that there are people here who are directly impacted and are still being impacted by these kind of inquiries and these kind of events. There is still a big impact with violence against Indigenous women and girls. They experience much higher levels of it than women of other races in Canada, and that is still happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really powerful to see those students come together. They were singing and drumming, and to listen to those accounts was a really interesting moment that I don't think a lot of people in Squamish, if they're not directly related to those kind of events, I don't know if they are as aware of them as maybe we should be.
Now we're going to shift over and talk about something a little bit more different.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to plunge into the world of sports. It's been a big one, like a very, very big week for Squamish lately.
Yeah, a really proud week. I mean, there's been a lot of winners.
Absolutely. And we're not talking about like participation trophy winners. We're talking about like legitimate winners.
First place trophy winners.
And on bigger stages. Probably the most high profile one that we got this past week would be from local mixed martial artist Cole Smith.
Coltrane.
The Coltrane Smith. Yes, he won his first UFC match. He's the first Squamish fighter to ever reach that level.
Mm-hmm.
So just making it into the UFC is already a huge deal. And on top of making it into the UFC, he's won his first match, which is even an even bigger deal.
Yeah.
So we talked to him just trying to get inside his head about what it was like to experience that, what it was like preparing for it. And I was actually able to grab him on the phone like a couple of days after he fought his match, and he told me all about it.
I was totally calm the whole time, and the reason for that is because I felt like there was a lot more pressure on me competing as a local as opposed to fighting in the big stage, and it's because I'm fighting the best guys in the world now. I made it. It's either way, it is what it is. You lose a round, but fighting as a local, you know, you lose a round, your stock goes way down. You can't even look semi-bad, you know what I mean? You need to be on top of your game the whole fight. So, there was no pressure on me at all. I was feeling totally at home in there.
That's really interesting. So are you saying that, like, the BFL matches and all the stuff leading up to that, that was actually, in a way, more of a challenge than what you were doing in the UFC?
It was, because, once I was in the UFC, I got signed, right? So everything was good.
I'm sure a lot of people were watching the fight. There was a key moment there where things looked a little bit grim for Cole. Basically, what happened was his opponent, Mitch Gagnon, clipped him with a pretty hard fist to the chin. Mm-hmm. And if you saw the clip, Cole takes a stumble. He goes down onto the floor. And this is the moment when it seems like, oh my gosh, everything could be lost.
Right.
And Cole explains from his perspective what was going on.
Dude, I don't even remember that punch. At the end of the fight, my brother's like, man, you know, like, okay, clean sweep. I dominated him that fight. And he's like, man, that last round, man, that was close. He hit you with a big punch. It's like, what are you talking about, bro? I didn't get hit at all. Like, I don't remember. I'm not hurt. I didn't feel anything. And then they're like, man, you had to fight out of those submissions. And I was like, what submissions? Like, what are you talking about? And then, like, in the interviews right after the fight, I was explaining to the, I was like, yeah, you know, apparently someone, I got hit or something, but I don't think so. It didn't hurt. And then I went back and I looked at the video and I was like, oh, okay. Now I know exactly what people are talking about. I got rocked big time. But no, I don't even really remember it, man. He kind of clipped me and, you know, I just toughed it out and fought out of it. There was nothing going on in my head at the time.
That's good. Nothing. So it's just, I guess the training kind of takes care of itself. Something else kicks in and then it just kind of goes, hey?
Yeah. It's kind of like a flash kind of thing. You know what I mean? I recovered real quickly. And a lot of the people at the UFC, they were very, very impressed with that. Mm-hmm. It's almost better that you know, for my career and the way people look at that, it's almost better that I kind of took that and fought my way out of it, because people know I'm here. I'm serious. You know what I mean? I'm not easily put away. You know, I have heart and I have a jaw. So, you know, it's kind of a good thing to show that right off the bat.
Anyway, so there you have it. Cole Smith, he's got three more fights in his contract. Next up is, this isn't set in stone yet, but there's been rumors flying around that there might be a Vancouver event happening sometime in the summer, probably July. And if that does happen, he is most certainly going to be on the card as a local fighter. Mm-hmm. So we will be watching very closely for that.
Yeah, let us know if you're going to go, Squamish.
Absolutely. Next up, another big win. The Squamish Axemen Rugby Club takes their first championship win since the club was reborn about 5 years ago. So a little bit of background. Squamish has had a rugby club kind of on an on and off basis for a long time. There was a hiatus when there was just no rugby in the corridor for a bit. But 5 years ago, a group of dedicated locals decided they wanted to bring rugby back. So now you have the Squamish Axemen Club in their current form. And in this iteration, they have now taken their first trophy. 5 years in the making, very big deal. They were playing against Richmond RFC over the weekend, and they managed to take them down. So I talked to Kane Starogardski. He is a player and manager with the team, and he took me through the strategy, the whole process of what he believes won them the game.
I don't know if it was so much one moment as a collection of moments. The way the structure the coaches have put on our game and shape this season, it's really about patience and building up to it and knowing the gaps will come later in the game. When you come up against a very strong defence, you're not going to get the break on the, as our coach said on Saturday in the build-up, you may not get through on the first, third or fifth time, but you'll get through on the sixth time. And it was kind of a textbook performance in that sense. We've had other games this season which have been tight in the first half. Because there's a lot of good teams in this division. There's a lot of good defences and sides are really up for us. But we know that we have the stamina to keep on going and wear them down. And also, the key thing is we have a very strong bench. And that really told in the final that it, up till half-time, I mean, Richmond deservedly took the lead. It was only a one-score game at half-time. We were leading 5-3. But it wasn't so much that the floodgates opened second half. It's that teams can't defend against us for 80 minutes. You know, they get worn down.
I also asked him how the season went, and he filled me in on that as well.
It's been a really good season, both on and off the field. So we kind of really hammered the recruitment again this year and got a lot of guys who were very heavily invested, whether they've been here a few years or just arrived this year. You know, things started off quite well. We had a couple of games up in Whistler, and we had another game in Squamish there before Christmas. Those home games always mean a lot. You know, we can get a lot of fans out and local families and local kids, which is really important to us. You know, we run programs in a few of the schools here in the corridor, and so the kids coming out and seeing the rugby being played and seeing it winning rugby in the corridor as well is fantastic. We had a few changes to the coaching structure this year. So Blake Mahovic, who's our head coach, he stayed on. He's a player and coach. But we brought in Keith Reeves, who is a local Squamish guy from England originally. And he came in to help out the existing coaches, Blake and Phil Mass. And that really helped reinvigorate things, take the pressure off Blake to an extent, and also just help us put more structure on the game. And I think the three coaches as a whole really enjoyed it as the season went on, but really did a great job of keeping the enthusiasm there with the players. We're a club that is more about off the field than on the field, to be honest. You know, it's great that we're playing good rugby, it's great that we're playing winning rugby, but the highlights for us is the community that we're building off the field, that support network that's there, especially for guys who might be new to the community.
So anyways, there you have it. The Squamish Axemen are the champions. It's a really beautiful, good thing for sports in the corridor. We're going to slide on over in the world of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
We've got
some other talent.
Merry Christmas. He left me, you know. And he took you with him. Christmas Day. Ho, 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 ho.
That was a clip from the film Red Eye featuring Squamish actor Christine Gavin Bartlett. Not a
relative of mine.
Not a relative of Keeley, but she is a local who has been a veteran of the Between Shifts theater productions. She's had moments in film. One of her bigger film credits would be like if you watched Supernatural.
Oh, okay.
She's been involved in that. She's now got province-wide recognition because she's been nominated for a Leo Award. For those of you who don't know, Leo Awards are kind of like British Columbia's Oscars.
All right, then.
Yeah, so if you can get in on that, like, that is a very big step up.
Yeah, that's pretty prestigious.
Absolutely.
All right.
So we're going to hear a little bit more from her. She takes us through the movie that she was starring in. It's called Red Eye, and it's set in, it's like a very intimate film, a mother speaking with a daughter as she is driving her to the airport, and she fills us in on a little bit more of the atmosphere of that film.
Well, I feel like there's a lot of layers to this particular script. It is about Christmas. It's also about a woman who's been estranged from her daughter for a really long time and different events that had happened 16 years ago and then having to drive my daughter to the airport when I haven't seen her for a long time. It's a film about addiction, love, loss, despair and hope all intermingle together.
Anyways, the next up is there's a little bit of an interesting origin story going on there. This film was originally a monologue, and she details how it kind of transformed into something else.
I went to university with a director like 20 years ago, and then we were performing the chair series, and she saw the monologue, and then we met again, and then she was inspired by the piece and wanted to turn it into a short film. She wanted to do an all-female cast like everything female, like to kind of honor the Me Too movement at the time. So yeah, so it was originally with my son, and then it turned into my daughter.
Okay, we're going over to the editor's pick, where we bring in our editor, Jennifer Thuncher. She is here to tell us about what she believes to be the story or issue of the week. Jen, what's going on?
Hey, Stephen. A lot of things are going on this week, but one of them was that I sat down with Kirsten Andrews, and people can read that in the upcoming edition of The Chief. She is one of the organizers of the Squamish Constellation Festival. We should say, too, that we know her. She wrote for us for many years.
That's
not
right.
Not in the office, but she was a freelancer. So mm-hmm. We know Kirsten. And I went over to her place and sat down to have a chat about the festival.
Oh, okay. And tell us, for those of us who don't know yet, why Constellation is such a big deal.
Well, I should say something. I hadn't actually planned at all to go to the concert.
Oh, okay.
I'm an introvert to begin with, and festivals, I don't know, too many people. And I didn't know, I like Tribe Called Red, excellent, but I wasn't really into going. But after I sat down with Kirsten, I actually think I will go.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, she did a good job explaining what is great about it. And for locals, an interesting thing is the reason they don't have camping with the Squamish Constellation Festival, which is... if I could say it, July 26th to the 28th, this summer at Henderson's Field. After talking to Kirsten, I really see that not having the camping is great for locals because we don't need it. It's not, the concert is mainly for locals, from what Kirsten tells us.
We want to create an intimate, easy, accessible experience, first and foremost for Squamish locals that can really, you know, take their bike down, you know, leave the car at home, jump on the bus, like walk over, sleep in your own bed at night. Like, you don't have to book a hotel. You don't have to drive anywhere to get to this.
She really had me realize that it just going in the atmosphere, and there's a lot more going on. The acts are great, even for someone like me that doesn't know a lot of the names off by heart. It's the atmosphere and the art and being outside, and well, I'll let Kirsten take it from here.
It's being open to the whole festival experience and, you know, coming, even though it's, you know, maybe your favorite band's not playing this year, but it's the entire experience. In the weekend, I look at it as a time to sort of fill your gas tank and, you know, as we go through summer and have these beautiful experiences to fill up, because we go into that dark winter and you need something to draw upon. These are the things that I draw upon, for sure. I really encourage people to have an open mind with going in there. You know, like, music is a really personal thing, and I feel like festivals are one of the best ways to introduce yourself to new artists and discover talent that you might not ever have had an opportunity to discover.
I mean, her enthusiasm is infectious, right? She's really excited about this. And I came away really feeling like the organizers are doing this for the community and really interested in growing it. One of the things she said in the same interview was that they never want it to be huge, like Squamish Valley Music Festival, which a lot of locals, I think, would appreciate. We don't want it to get that big. But that it will grow with time. And so this is the beginning, and we'll have more people, but mostly even more acts and more aspects to it that are fun for locals. So I look forward to going this year and seeing what happens next.
All right, Jen, thank you so much for your time.
My ear.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, do it again.
We've injured the reporter. Okay, she... Jen can no longer continue. She's been mortally wounded.
The Squamish Sound is brought to you by The Squamish Chief. The music for this episode was produced by Stephen Chua, cover photo by Clayton Matthews. Have a story tip? Give us a call at 604-892-9161. Send an email to news@squamishchief.com. You can read these stories and more online at squamishchief.com, or subscribe to the newspaper and have the news delivered to your door every week.